Dave Riley is a child development specialist in cooperative extension and also the Rothermel Bascom Professor of Human Ecology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. His Bascom Professorship was the first endowed chair awarded at UW-Madison campus for Impacts of Outreach Scholarship. Professor Riley co-directs Wisconsin's Early Childhood Excellence Initiative, which works statewide to raise the quality of early childhood programs for the low-income children of working parents. He is the author of Parenting the First Year and Parenting the Second and Third Year instructional newsletter series, which are distributed to over 90,000 Wisconsin families each year, as well as parents in 15 other states. His community-based research on childcare conducted with county extension offices has led to over 90 new childcare programs being started in Wisconsin. Professor Riley has authored numerous scientific articles on childcare and child rearing and co-authored one book. His honors include the 1995 Award for Distinguished Contribution to Psychology in the Public Interest from the American Psychological Association, and the 1993 Award for Child Abuse Prevention from the Wisconsin Committee for the Prevention of Child Abuse and Neglect. He is a husband, a father, and a former preschool teacher. Dave's topic today is child care quality. Does it matter and does it need to be improved? Welcome, Dave.
Thanks. That introduction sounds pretty remarkable, but I'd like to add that it was verified and checked over by Arthur Anderson Incorporated. In order to focus on child care, I'm going to be ignoring some very important other kinds of related early childhood programs, such as 4-year-old kindergarten and birth to 3 special needs programs. But there's a chapter at the back of your briefing report that describes some of these other childhood programs and what they're doing in Wisconsin. In America, child care is purchased in the private marketplace. What might induce lawmakers to intervene in that private marketplace? Well, two aspects of child care do engage the public interest. First, ensuring adequate access to child care is crucial for the success of the state's welfare reform policies. This explains most of the growth in state expenditures for child care in the last 2 decades. By the way, all the charts you see, all the key ones, are going to be in handouts that you'll receive as you leave the meeting, but at least you're going to have them. As Wisconsin began to use federal TANF dollars to finance a dramatic increase in child care subsidies available to low-income working parents so they could get off welfare and into paying jobs. Wisconsin currently provides a child care subsidy to over 40,000 working low-income families every month. This figure, which is in the handout, shows this dramatic increase in state funding from $13 million a year, actually per biennium in 86-87, to $306 million in the current biennium. That's a 20-fold increase. But the availability of child care is important for our economic development generally, not just for welfare reform. By making employed parenthood possible, child care expands the labor pool. For business development, child care is in the same category as having a 12-inch force main sewer line coming out of a light industrial park. Both of those are basic infrastructural supports for commerce. The second public interest in child care is in its quality. To help ensure the basic safety and health of children in child care settings, our Department of Health and Human Services has licensing standards and a licensing field staff who aim for 2 compliance visits every year with each child care program in the state. Higher quality care also promotes tangible social goods such as increased school readiness, lowered future delinquency and crime rates, particularly for children from low-income families. This is the same public interest, in fact, that causes us to want to create a public school system and then to care deeply about how to improve it. Having decent quality child care, not just an adequate supply, is also essential to the success of welfare reform. Research confirms that the higher the quality of care, the more likely mothers are to keep their jobs and to work longer hours. In contrast, low quality care is a predictor of low income mothers actually quitting their jobs. And there's also a public desire for government action on this issue. And one after another public poll in recent years, and regardless of how the questions are asked or who conducts the polls, Americans have consistently and overwhelmingly reported a desire for greater public investment in early childhood programs. So there's certainly a justification for childcare accessibility and quality being on the public policy agenda. And if we believe the public opinion polls, then there may also be a political will for it. Of course, that doesn't tell us how high it ranks as a funding priority. which is a political and not a scientific question that I thankfully leave to others of you in the room, especially given the current budget situation in the state. Now, what do we mean by quality in child care? We usually measure quality in two ways, structural and process characteristics. The structural characteristics of child care are the regulatable features of the programs, like their group size, the adult-child ratio, how much training staff need to have. The process aspects are the observable things we can see happening in the setting itself that actually lead to differences in child development. The structural characteristics, which are in the far left column here, are only important because they tend to predict differences in the process variables in the middle column, which are the real causes of those outcomes. So, for example, when there are fewer children per adult in the setting, then we can actually observe that the adult caregiver spends more time per child elaborating on the child's language. And then we see the children's verbal intelligence scores actually improve. One of these predictors of quality, the education and training of staff, is interesting. Some people are tempted to think that child care is something that most anybody can do, but research consistently shows that each additional course in child development causes a predictable rise in quality, and then how much the children actually learn during the year. And this is an odd statement to make, but very few occupations can boast such a clear link between training and productivity. And this verifies that child care is indeed a skilled occupation in which training of staff is important. Quality indicators, especially those in the structural end of the continuum, tend to cluster together. So, for example, we find that low wages are usually associated with untrained staff and high rates of staff turnover. And this cluster together consistently predicts low quality care. Our research estimates a 40% annual turnover rate in staff in the state, around 50% in the nation. And that means you are constantly replacing trained staff with untrained staff. So quality really just can't rise. Imagine if we lost 40% of our elementary teachers every year. Our early childhood teachers have just as big an impact on these children's futures as do elementary teachers, and quite possibly a greater impact. So this 40% turnover rate hurts us all. Wages, of course, are low in this profession. Our most recent data on child care teachers associated with the Wisconsin Shares program shows that over half of them earn less than $8 an hour. This translates to under $16,000 per year, full-time, 12-month year. The other news about wages is that even with training and years of experience, your pay doesn't rise much. Among child care teachers with education degrees, studies find that average pay is between half and three-quarters what a similarly trained Wisconsin kindergarten teacher earns. We are unlikely to substantially raise the quality of child care in Wisconsin until we are able to keep the well-trained staff from leaving for better-paying jobs. And in a few minutes, I'm going to turn to an interesting question about that, and that's why the private marketplace doesn't correct this problem on its own, as we should expect it would. How do we know that higher quality care actually causes long-term improvements in children's lives? Well, the evidence comes from hundreds of studies. But the best ones are true experiments in which children were randomly assigned to programs of different levels of quality, and then researchers follow those children year after year into adulthood to see how they turn out. One of these, the Perry Preschool Program in Michigan, this is the best known, found that by age 27, the children who had received a program of 1 or 2 years as preschoolers, compared to the control group, were far more likely to complete their schooling, to avoid criminal arrests, to own their own homes, to have higher incomes, and to have avoided welfare. They estimate a $7 return on investment for every dollar invested in that program. Here's the second of these very rigorous experiments, the Carolina Abecedarian Project. Its director, Claude Ramey, spoke to the Family Impact Seminar 2 years ago. You can see that by age 21, the children who had been in the early childhood program years earlier were much more likely to have become successful in their schooling. They were even delaying their childbearing years into adulthood. Both of these studies were of very high-quality demonstration projects mounted by university researchers, so we ought to be suspicious about them. In particular, we might wonder if we could scale them up to cover an entire state and still maintain their quality. It seems doubtful. That makes a third, more recent study all the more significant. The Child Parent Center program was created by the Chicago Public School District by reallocating existing public funds, no special grants there, and it was mounted in a large number of elementary schools in the city. Since 1967, the program has served over 100,000 families. So unlike other long-term experiments, this one tested a large-scale public program, something that's doable. The head of the evaluation team for this project is Professor Arthur Reynolds of our own UW-Madison. In the Journal of the American Medical Association this past spring, Arthur reported that the Chicago youngsters who received the parent-child program had significantly higher math and reading scores during their school years. They were far less likely to have been retained in grade, and by age 20, they were far more likely to have finished high school and to have avoided arrest. By the way, across many studies, the most powerful impacts on children are from programs that create strong parent and family involvement and usually give real power to the parents in terms of helping to hire and evaluate teachers. Some scholars believe, in fact, that programs like Head Start have much of their long-term impact on children indirectly through their influence on those children's parents, the family impact. These studies, because they were true experiments, allow us to say with some certainty that early childhood programs caused those differences in life outcomes, not just were associated with, caused them. Those are significant outcomes we just saw. Recent research on brain development in childhood has helped explain how these early childhood programs can have such pervasive and long-lasting impacts on a child's life. It turns out that the human brain is not fully formed at birth. It continues to grow its basic structures during the first several years of life. The brain is a work in progress, and early experiences can literally shape that brain for better or for worse. So, does Wisconsin have high-quality child care? Well, we certainly have a reputation for quality. Working Mother magazine has always ranked us in their top 10 states for child care, every ranking they've given. That ranking is based primarily on our regulations. What about the observed quality of care, however? This past fall, we conducted half-day observations in a random sample of programs that serve children in the Wisconsin Share subsidy program. And 80% of the programs in the state are in that system. Our findings showed that Wisconsin scoring about the same as national averages for other studies. We judged that the great majority of care to be fair in quality, neither exceptional nor consistently harmful either. As in the national study, we found 15% to be really excellent. From these sites, our data collectors came back to Madison with stories of spectacular childcare settings with intellectually stimulating activities, sensitive adults. These are places where children were happy, engaged, growing. Also, like the national studies, we found 11% of settings to be of consistently poor quality in our observations. You might ask what that really means, and I'll tell you. First, of course, we expect programs to be on their best behavior when somebody with a clipboard is sitting in the corner of the room watching them. And yet, one of our data collectors told us about a child care teacher tying a child into his chair with rope right in front of her. This is in Wisconsin. In another program, the teacher wiped juice from thawing meat with a rag, then wiped a toddler's hands and face with the same rag. We observed child care classrooms in which there were no books for children and in which children's requests to be read to were consistently rebuffed by staff. These are programs that don't even know enough to hide that from us when we're observing them. They're harming our children, our state's children. One piece of news about our study is good. The national studies to which we compare have tended to observe more often expensive middle-class child care programs, whereas our study was only of programs serving low-income children in the subsidy system. So overall, we suspect that Wisconsin may in fact be doing better than other states. If quality of care is so important, why doesn't the marketplace provide it? Why do we have to work so hard to increase the quality of care? Economists who have studied child care agree that the private market does not work as well for child care as for other industries, like the manufacture of shoes or cheese, for three basic reasons. First is the lack of consumer knowledge about quality. Parents are unsure how to judge the quality of child care, and so considerations of cost and convenience tend to dominate their purchase decisions. Research shows that about half of parents don't even comparison shop for child care, but accept the first setting they find in their price range. Those same parents would never buy a used car that way without comparison shopping. Their lack of ability to distinguish quality then tends to drive quality out of the market. Second, the market may fail for child care due to what economists call externalities. These are benefits that accrue not to the child care consumer, but to the community at large. These benefits include those I described earlier as the lifespan benefits of high-quality care, such as lowered costs for later education and reductions in crime. Unsafe and unhealthy child care saves money for the family in the short run, but research confirms that it costs the rest of us, the public, in the long run. Third, child care market failure may result from an imperfect capital market. This is the result of families having the burden of child care costs at just the point in their family life cycle when earnings are lowest, when young adults are first beginning their families. In 10 years, these same families could more easily afford child care, but not at the beginning of their adult lives. Low-income families spend approximately one-sixth of their income on average on child care, so they simply can't afford higher quality care. Note that the same market failure would be present for elementary education if we asked parents to pay its full cost, with the result that quality would drop precipitously there as well. Precipitously. If I could say that, it would drop. What has our state done to increase the quality of care? Well, quite a bit. State spending for quality improvement has increased tremendously in the last two decades, especially since the passage of Wisconsin Works legislation. The figure shows the major items in this budget, beginning with the cost of state licensing and monitoring, and our state contribution to expand Head Start in the state, which now reaches about one-third of eligible children. These have been fairly steady parts of the budget for many years. The state also supports an infrastructure of organizations that help new child care businesses get started, provide ongoing technical assistance to them, and provide referral services for consumers throughout the state. This support of infrastructure is one of the key reasons for our high national reputation. I think we do this better than any other state, to be honest. Through these efforts, the state increases both supply and quality of child care without directly intervening in the marketplace. Funding in this area was reduced in the current biennial budget. Until recently, the state administered a small grants program to help child care programs attain national accreditation, which is the highest professional standard in the field. The aim of this grant program was to create what you might call flagship high-quality programs that set a standard for the state. This program was funded at $1 million per year through most of the last decade. It's now been ended. At the beginning of the last biennium, next item on the chart, the state began an Early Childhood Excellence Initiative conceived by former Governor Thompson. It provided substantial funding to 31 child care programs in the state that serve primarily low-income families in the state subsidy program, raising their overall levels of funding to almost the level of funding for kindergarten teachers, children. Like the Accreditation Grants Program, this program aims to create high-quality flagship programs throughout the state, although this one also disseminates their best practices to other child care programs across Wisconsin. This program was funded at $15 million in the last biennium. It's been reduced to $2.5 million for the final year of this biennium. It looks like it's probably being phased out, although who knows what happens in future budgets. Finally, the final quality improvement initiative in the figure is the Early Childhood Scholarship and Bonus Program. It provides scholarship funds so early childhood teachers can take college courses in child development or early education. Most of those funds, $6 million a year, actually go to our two-year college system, in other words, through the early childhood teachers. The teacher, to be eligible, must promise to stay in the profession at least a year beyond their scholarship, and their centers must offer them a raise after they complete their college courses. So both the business and the teacher make promises. Thus, this program addresses a whole cluster of issues affecting quality simultaneously: staff training, staff wages, and staff turnover. It creates incentives for programs and teachers without creating any actual mandates. It's a voluntary program. Evaluations of this program in other states have been promising so far. We might even hear about one of them, I'm not sure, in a few minutes. And I have to admit that this program excites my optimism more than any other I've seen in recent years because it addresses so many of the different features leading to quality. The logic model I'm putting up here, and again, this will be in handouts you'll get as you leave the meeting, in this figure, shows the causal chain leading from the program on left to DWD, relevant outcomes, on the right. Each link in the chain is supported by research, so that we have some sense that this program ought to be leading to higher quality and to better futures for those children and for our workforce. Let me now summarize and close. 2 minutes ahead of schedule, but only because I'm talking so fast. Quality matters in child care, and it matters in ways that are important to the public good, which is why we're here today, such as preparing children to succeed in their later schooling, to avoid criminal careers, and to become self-sufficient as adults. It matters in terms of lives made better and future public spending averted. The best evidence supports those contentions. The private marketplace does not currently produce nearly enough child care of high enough quality. While we have some extraordinarily high quality care in some of our programs in Wisconsin, we also have harmful care in other places and a great deal of sort of mediocre care in between. Average child care in Wisconsin, as in the nation, is probably fair in quality. We have a reputation for high quality care in Wisconsin, and relative to other states, I believe this reputation is largely deserved. We also have recent experience with a variety of quality improvement initiatives by our own state government. Just as important, other states have been experimenting with quality improvement initiatives that are thoughtfully designed and show great promise. In fact, I can't wait to hear what they have to tell us here. Thanks.